From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo urges his ministers to maintain food availability ahead of Ramadan. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani affirms Indonesia supports India G20 presidency's agenda. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has asked his ministers to maintain food availability across the country ahead of the Muslim month of fasting, Ramadan, which will start in the third week of March 2023. As reported by Antara, according to Agriculture Minister Syahrul Yasin Limpo at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Friday, President Joko Widodo has monitored several commodities such as rice, beef, eggs, and sugar, especially their availability for Muslim fasting month of Ramadan and Idul Fitri festival. Minister Limpo also said that President Joko Widodo instructed all ministers to jointly check the buffer stock of those food in the field. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati met her Indian counterpart Nirmala Sitharaman in Bangalore, India on Thursday, February the 23rd, during which she expressed Indonesia's support for India's G20 priority agenda. And according to Minister Indrawati, in an official statement received by Antara on Friday, Indonesia will always be ready to support the priority agenda of India's G20 presidency and inherited agenda from the Indonesian G20 presidency. She also pointed out that multilateral collaboration in trade and investment to address global issues such as the energy and food crisis has become increasingly crucial. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Cultural Affairs, Muhajir Effendi, has said that the Indonesian team sent to provide humanitarian aid to Turkish and Syrian earthquake victims performed its mission well. He remarked on Friday, February the 24th, that the team have concluded their mission in Turkey and Syria very well, and currently they have arrived safely in Indonesia. The minister made the remarks at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base in Jakarta when welcoming the returning team. He also said that their contribution will be beneficial and ease the burden on the people who have been impacted by the disaster in Turkey and Syria so that they can get through their suffering and rise into a stronger and greater nation. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture stated that the preparation to create Indonesia's superior and quality generation starts from the family. Hence, families, especially parents, have a very important role in preparing their children to become superior and competitive human resources. The Ministry's Acting Deputy for Coordination of Quality Improvement for Children, Women, and Youth, Didi Suhardi, in Jakarta on Friday, as quoted by Antara, further remarked that parents should provide assistance and set an example for their children to emulate it and become individuals with positive and noble character. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said he plans to meet Chinese leader Xi Jinping to discuss Beijing's proposal on ending the war in Ukraine. As quoted by BBC.com on February the 25th, speaking on the first anniversary of Russia's full-scale invasion, he said the proposal signaled that China was involved in the search for peace. According to him, he really wants to believe that China will not supply weapons to Russia. China's plan calls for peace talks and respect for national sovereignty. Iran has developed a cruise missile with a range of 1,650 kilometers, a top Revolutionary Guards commander said on Friday, in a move likely to raise Western concerns after Russia's use of Iranian drones in the Ukraine war. As reported by ArabNews.com, separately, Amir Haji Sadeh, the head of the Revolutionary Guards Aerospace Force, also spoke of Iran's often repeated threat to avenge the U.S. killing of a top Iranian commander. Haji Sadeh also conveyed that Iran's cruise missiles with a range of 1,650 kilometers has been added to the missiles arsenal of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Vietnam acting president Pho Thi Anh Xuan on Friday underscored the task of the diplomatic sector, including Vietnam's representative missions abroad, to be at the front line in national construction and defense. As quoted by vovworld.vn on February the 24th, the acting president gave 15 diplomats the decisions appointing them as ambassadors of Vietnam to countries in Asia, Europe, the USA, and Africa for the term 2023-2026. Congratulating the newly appointed ambassadors, acting president Xuan emphasized that their tenure coincides with a pivotal period in Vietnam's development process, a decisive sprint to achieve the goals set by the 13th National Party Congress and implement the socio-economic development plan until 2025. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Oh,
The first news comes from Batam, Riau Islands. Women's Penitentiary Class 2B Batam City featured various works and skills of inmates during a special event on Thursday. Head of the Women Penitentiary, Nebi Fiarleni, on Wednesday explained that the purpose of this activity was to introduce prison products to the community. According to Nebi, there are still many people who don't know that in prison, the inmates get various kinds of training, such as catering, batik making, salons, and many more. The works produced in Batam Women's Penitentiary, including handicrafts of miniatures made of wood, foot mat, bags, batik, dolls, and culinary products such as cakes and bread. The next news comes from Surabaya, East Java. Surabaya Container Terminal converts waste into oxygen as a commitment to run its business with a sustainable concept. One of them through planting the Tabe Buya tree at the terminal. Corporate Secretary of the terminal, Erika Epalupi, in her statement in Surabaya on Thursday said that they are targeting to plant 1,000 trees. Since 2022, they have planted 373 Tabe Buya trees. Erika also said that in environmental preservation activities, another activity was also carried out, namely the nurseries of 10,000 mangrove seeds targeted to be harvesting at the end of February or in early March. The latest news comes from Kapuas Hulu, West Kalimantan. The center of Kapuas Hulu, Betung Kerihung National Park and Sentarum Lake stated that since 2017 until now, there have been 25 orangutans released in Mendalam Regional Forest, North Putu Sibau District, in the area of the national park. The head of the center, Wahyu Rudianto, in Putu Sibau, Kapuas Hulu, on Thursday said, the release of the orangutan was an effort to preserve endangered animals in order to breed and increase the population of orangutans in the national park area. Wahyu said, from the results of monitoring, the released orangutan can adapt to its habitat. This can be seen from the independence of orangutans in making home and looking for feed. He hopes that the release of orangutans can adapt well and can multiply to increase the population of orangutans in their natural habitat. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on February 25, 1964, when Muhammad Ali won the title of the first World Heavyweight Boxing Championship. Muhammad Ali, who at that time still used his birth name Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr., overthrew defending champion Sonny Liston at the age of 22. At the time of his triumph, an estimated 8,300 spectators gathered in the Convention Hall Arena in Miami Beach to see if Cassius Clay, nicknamed the Louis Philippe, could pull off a win. To celebrate his title, Clay then went to a private party at a hotel in Miami, which was attended by his best friend, Malcolm X, who was the leader of a group of African-American Muslims. Clay announced that he was joining the Nation of Islam and defended the concept of racial segregation while speaking about the importance of Islam in his life. It was also in that year that Clay decided to change his name to a Muslim name, to Muhammad Ali. Now we move to an event on February 25, 1986, when Corazon Aquino was sworn in as President of the Philippines. Aquino's appointment ended the 20-year rule of Ferdinand Marcos. Corazon Aquino ruled the Philippines from 1986 to 1992. she became Asia's first female president. Corazon's political struggles could not be separated from the assassination of her husband, a popular opposition figure, Senator Benigno Aquino Jr. Her husband was killed shortly after landing at Manila International Airport while returning to his country on August 21, 1983. He was later figured by the opposition to oppose the autocratic power of President Ferdinand Marcos. We end today in history with an event on February 25, 1991 about declaration of the dissolution of the Warsaw Pact. The Warsaw Pact was a defense alliance of communist socialist countries in the Eastern European region, or called the Eastern Bloc, as a rival to the NATO Western Bloc Defense Pact. The Warsaw Pact experienced a crisis due to the emergence of a wave of democratic revolutions in the Eastern European region and the divisions between communist countries. On February 25, 1991, a meeting of the Ministers of Defense and Foreign Ministries of member states in Hungary declared the dissolution of the Warsaw Pact. On July 1, 1991, in Prague, Czechoslovak President Václav Havel officially announced the end of the Warsaw Pact. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Kembali terjadi, kau mainkan hati untuk kesekian kali. Kau ingkar akan janji, kau ubah segala cerita yang ada, terbayang di asa yang kau bilang selama. Jangan kau
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 475 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry wants to create a stronger platform for Southeast Asia micro, small, and medium enterprises. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry stated that it wanted to create a stronger platform to accommodate micro, small, and medium enterprises in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations countries. Deputy Chairperson of the Chamber and Alternate Chair of the 2023 ASEAN Business Advisory Council, Bernardino Vega, stated it in his remarks at an online event titled ASEAN-Japan Cooperation Co-Innovation in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 22nd. Quoting a report by the Antara News Agency, Bernardino Vega said the current focus is on how to create a better and stronger platform for macro, small, and medium enterprises. The statement was made in the framework of the momentum of 50 years of Japan-ASEAN friendship and cooperation and coincided with Indonesia as ASEAN chair this year. Bernardino Vega explained, currently the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry is also working with the Japanese External Trade Organization, or JITRO, which is a benchmark in how to develop and grow macro, small, and medium enterprises. According to him, there are many opportunities in the future to work together to create and innovate together through technology and new ways of thinking. Bernardino Vega said that ASEAN's contribution to the regional economy is the largest in the world, surpassing the European Union and the United States. The average growth rate for ASEAN country is 5.5% to 6%, including the Philippines 7.3%, Vietnam 9.3%, and Indonesia 5.3%. He considered that the partnership between Japan and ASEAN is the key to be developed because it has been proven in a number of projects involving science and technology as well as green transformation. These projects include wind farms in Vietnam, where windmills and energy-producing wind turbines are built, as well as the Jakarta MRT in Indonesia. Bernardino Vega said that now is the right time to innovate together, understand the new economy, and seek solutions in new ways by involving all parties without exception. He added that Japan is still the biggest investor in ASEAN. For 50 years, Japan has assisted ASEAN in developing joint projects and initiatives through trust and respect. That was My Indonesia Today.
Used to be okay again. today.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Putri Cave in South Sumatra. South Sumatra is the province which has lots of interesting tourism destinations to visit. One of them is Goa Putri, located in Padang Bindu Village, Semidang Aji Sub-District, Ogan Komering Ulu Regency, Batu Raja, South Sumatra. This cave connects Batu Raja and Muara Enim, and it is a tourism attraction interested in by both domestic and foreign tourists. Listener, Goa Putri has a depth of about 150 meters with a height of about 20 meters and a width of 20 until 30 meters. Goa Putri is not like a narrow cave in general. It is very large. Even the mouth of the cave can be passed by a group of visitors at once. Although the manager has provided lights that can illuminate the road, you still have to be careful because this cave is dark inside. In the cave, you will see stalactites and stalagmites, which are presented so beautifully due to the reflections of several colorful lights. Inside the cave, there is also a river with a length of 160 meters and a width of 20 meters, namely the Sumohon River, which has clear water and makes visitors feel more refreshed to linger in the cave. Listener, in some part of the cave, there are also wide stones where you can sit and sleep. If you pay close attention, some of the stones in Putri's cave have various shapes such as human shapes, elephants, tigers, king's thrones, and some are even shaped like a stage. Then, there is also a stone shaped like a princess bed. Another uniqueness of this cave is that visitors will not enter and exit from the same door. Once inside the cave, visitors will go to another hall, which is on a staircase. There is a wooden ladder there. As soon as one comes out, they are already on the side of the cave, but it is located above the height. Afterward, to get out to the parking area, you have to follow the path that is beside the cave. Listener, the access to Putri Cave can be reached from Sultan Mahmud Badaruddin II Airport in Palembang with a distance of about 230 kilometers. To go to Goa Putri, you can use public transportation. From Palembang Bus Terminal, you can also take the bus to Batu Raja. If you are in South Sumatra and looking for a place for adventure, Putri Cave is an appropriate tourism attraction that you can visit while in Batu Raja, South Sumatra. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you.
terakhir ku tatap mata indahmu di bawah bintang-bintang, terbelah hatiku antara cinta dan rahasia. Ku cinta padamu, namun kau milik sahabatku. Dilema hati kering, andai ku bisa berkata sejujurnya, pilih dia, pilihlah aku yang mampu mencintamu lebih dari dia. Bukan ku ingin merebutmu dari sahabatku, namun kau tahu cinta tak bisa, tak bisa kau salahkan. Ku cinta padamu, namun kau milik sahabatku. Dilema hatiku, andai ku bisa berkata sejujurnya,
salahkan.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, premature birth is one of the most serious health problems faced by families around the world, including Indonesia. Based on the latest data from the World Health Organization in 2018, Indonesia ranked 5th as a country with a fairly high premature birth rate, namely 675,700 births. Every baby born prematurely sometimes requires medical intervention in order to adapt to their new environment and reduce mortality. One of the efforts made to premature babies to reduce mortality is to treat them in an incubator. However, caring for a baby in a hospital incubator until their body temperature is normal also requires quite an expensive pay, so that it is often a burden for low-income families. These conditions prompted Professor of the Faculty of Engineering, University of Indonesia, Raldi Artono Gustur, to develop a baby incubator that is easy to use and care for. The simple design and easy to obtain components allow everyone to build this incubator without having to pay a lot of money. This baby incubator has two main parts, namely the acrylic inner chamber and the bottom box. The area inside the incubator, called a cot, is where the baby is placed, while other components are located at the bottom of the incubator, which functions as a heating chamber and controller to regulate the temperature in the cabin. This baby incubator technology is designed at a temperature of 33 to 35 degrees Celsius using natural circulation and convection. The heater uses an incandescent light with a wooden frame which is heat insulating and doesn't use a fan so that it doesn't generate noise. Raldi further said the development of this incubator is a form of community service. This incubator is an anti-pattern product. Whoever wants to make it, he or she will be taught. Thereby, everyone can make this incubator to help lots of premature babies. Raldi and the team developed this incubator not for widespread commercialization, but as an effort to serve and empower the community. Every family, especially those from the lower middle class ones, can borrow this incubator for free by contacting volunteer agents in each city. In the future, Raldi targets volunteer agents to spread 300 districts and cities throughout Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Kopi Dangdut by Bella Nadinda. Kopi Dangdut, a song which was released in 1990, was popularized by Fahmi Syahab, who is also the writer of the song. Fahmi Syahab said the song took the license from the song Moliendo Cafe from Venezuela. Fahmi also said he met someone from Japan who took the song license from Moliendo Cafe. Fahmi was also asked to make Indonesian lyrics for the song, and it became Kopi Dangdut song, which is so familiar to Indonesian people. Well, listener, here is Bella Nadinda with the keroncong song Kopi Dangdut. Happy listening!
Ku pandang kerlip bintang nun jauh di sana, sayupku dengar melodi cinta yang menggema, terasa kembali gelora jiwa mudaku karena tersentuh alunan lagu semerdu kopi dangdut api asmara yang dahulu pernah membara semakin hangat bagai pesona alunan kopi dangdut, irama kopi dangdut yang ceria menyengat hati menjadi gairah, membuat aku lupa akan cintaku yang telah lalu. Kala ku pandang kerlip bintang nun jauh di sana, sayupku dengar melodi cinta yang kembali gelora jiwa mudaku karena tersentuh alunan lagu semerdu kopi dangdut api asmara yang dahulu pernah membara semakin hangat bagai ciuman yang pertama detak jantungku seakan ikut irama karena terlena oleh pesona dangdut. karena terlena oleh pesona alunan kopi dangdut. Karena terlena oleh pesona alunan kopi
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.